This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Good morning and welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Also streaming live on HoosierLandTV.com. Each weekday, Party Line brings you conversations with local leaders, community organizations, business owners, elected officials, event organizers, and the people making a difference across Clinton, Boone, Carroll, and surrounding counties. We also want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open throughout the program at 765-659-3338. Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. IU Health, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Big Deals. Save money now and 24/7 at welovebigdeals.com and your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierLandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, First Bank Midwest, Shoop's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoop's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Ivy Tech Community College, Changing Lives, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. Whether you're listening on WILO, Boone's Best 102.7, watching on Hoosierland TV, or joining us online, we invite you to be part of the show. Call us at 765-659-3338. This is Party Line.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Party Line here on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Weather's looking great for the weekend. Get out there and support. We got a lot of football happening this Friday night, and I'm sure there's other things going on the weekend, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But the weather's looking great. 80s, sunny, low 80s, 80 and 81. Sunday, 85. You're going to start seeing it climb because, you know, the dreaded 90s are coming back into the forecast next week, and the possibility of a little bit of rain. But, you know, we can't complain too much. At least we're getting a little bit of a drying out spell. And if you can, if you're watching online, you can tell right now I do have an in-house guest. We're going to get to him, Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright. So what do you think of the weather?
I'm ready for a little bit of dryness, you know. yeah, the heat won't be good. A lot of people don't like that, but dry out some of the standing water around, and I'm looking forward to that. So
when we had all that come in, what kind of problems did that pose for you and for the department? I mean, I'm sure you guys, Central Dispatch, I know their phones were probably ringing off the wall. But right. What did that do to you guys?
No, I mean, obviously just a lot of high water calls and heard a lot of, wow, we've never seen high water here before. So there were some new places around the county that I don't think really had seen that before. You've got the regular places, but
yeah,
with that high water comes with, you know, the ground saturation, and then you had some trees down that were crossing, so county highway was busy, kept busy keeping those cleared. So nothing. I think we had a few cars stranded, but nothing like you see on the news to where we're not rescuing people in boats and stuff
sure.
like that.
Yeah, we don't have those large waterways through here, but yeah, I'm like you. There were places, and it's always dark when I come to work, so there were places just in the normal drive that there was water across the road that I'd never seen before.
Right. And I heard that a lot, you know, that whether, oh, I've been here 20 years or 25 years and had never seen this before. So yes, it was really isolated. I mean, certain parts of the county, whether you were the Northeast or Southwest, you know, I heard a lot of difference, you know, to where a lot of people got dumped on, you know, 7-8 inches of rain versus just maybe an inch or two somewhere else on certain times, you know, and it moved around.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Very unpredictable. I mean, I know it's Indiana, and the old saying is, you know, blink or just turn around and the weather will change.
Just wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't take long, but it's just been it just seems like every year it gets a little crazier. So Mother Nature needs some drugs or something. She's really been messing with us the last few years. How are you getting settled in? I mean, and I know you've been a deputy for years. You know, you've been a town marshal. You've been working for the prosecutor's office. So you've been in law enforcement pretty much your whole career. But this is different. This is administrative along with all the law enforcement. So when you got to combine both of those and on a larger scale, how are you settling in?
Yeah, I feel like I'm settling in well. It's about 3 months now. And, I said this when I came in, you know, you're going to look back to your first month and think, wow, and then 2 months. And, you know, at 6 months, I'll look back to where we're at today at 3 months and say, wow, things have changed a lot. So I feel like I'm settling well. You're right. You know, I've been in law enforcement for 24 years and served several different roles. I've been in administrative roles, but not at this level. So got a lot of help from a lot of people. And I knew that would be needed. So I'm leaning on a lot of people and a lot of advice, and we're getting through.
Well, I know when you talk about administrative, part of that fun job is budgets. And we are in the midst of budget season for all government officials. How is that? Because we're all looking at SB1. We don't know what that's going to do to us until the final numbers come out. But how have you taken that into consideration when you've been working on your budget? Because you have to submit your budget to the county for them to look at, and then they incorporate that into the whole county-wide budget. So what's it been like for you trying to plan that all out?
Yeah, well, we worked on that last month, and I'll know more here in a few weeks when we start having the budget hearings. But so far from what I'm hearing, I mean, we're trying to keep things as tight as we can, but, you know, you need what you need, and you still got to put it in the budget. So we'll just know when we start working the numbers out on how everything affects. I think it's just an uncertainty, and a lot of people just don't know how SB1 will affect everybody and whether it's going to be more this year or affect more even next year. So it's just a thing where, you know, we're going to have to work through it, and, you know, we're going to make tough decisions, and, you know, if there's cuts that's needed, and, you know, we're going to work through and work harder and try to make it work. We really have no other choice. If the money's not there, the money's not there.
I think the one benefit that we've all had is the fact that we've had a year to plan.
Right.
And to look at all those options and maybe see where, if not necessarily cutting or well, you got to trim a little bit because you just don't know. But to be able to maybe reallocate what maybe you didn't need it in this line item, you can move it to another line item that maybe looks like it's going to expand.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, so, you know, we can get through without a whole lot of cuts and just, you know, maybe your wish list is going to be cut down on what you want. You know, everybody wants the best for their department and their staff and everything, but
yeah,
this might be a time to where we'll just have to
The
status quo for a little bit, and we'll put that on next year's Christmas list.
You know? The 5 to 10 year list may look a little different, right, for sure. Speaking of, you know, the department and all those kind of things, you just graduated 3 new deputies. That's huge. So they just graduated. So what happens when a deputy graduates? What's the next recourse? Because you don't automatically throw them in a car and send them out on their way.
Absolutely not. Yeah, they started the academy on May 4th. 16-week academy. So they were hired probably a month before that and did just some basic training, you know, defensive tactics and firearms before they went to the academy. So, yes, they just graduated a week ago last Thursday and then basically started their field training program this week. And that's a pretty extensive program, but you're right. A lot of people think, well, you just get hired, you go to the academy, and, you know, there you go. But it's about a 6-month program on top of the academy, so pretty extensive. They ride with different field training officers. They work day shift, they work night shift. And what the field training program does, it teaches them what we do here locally and how things are done here. The academy is more of a wide, broader, you know, state level thing, criminal law, traffic law, and such. But we teach them, you know, how to do the job here and what, you know, how our policies are and how our prosecutor likes cases sent up and stuff like that. So it's pretty extensive, and you're right, three guys are a lot. I know when I was at the sheriff's office, we never had three at one time in a field training program. So again, we're going to make it work and make it happen, and everybody's going to have to, you know, buckle down and get the job done. But looking forward to it. They graduated the academy very well with honors, a couple of them with honors, and looking forward to it, and a good group of guys that are willing to go back out there and serve the community.
So now, where does this put you staffing wise for the whole department?
Well, with that, right now we had a retirement in June, and we just had one last week, and then we just had next week we're going to have a resignation, just a transfer, somebody's changing jobs. So on top of our three new people, yes, we will have three new openings that we're in a hiring process right now. We had our physical agility and our testing a few weeks ago, 1st of August. And we're now just going through the paperwork on that, applications, and starting interviews here in about a week on that. So in addition to the three that we have in field training, we're hiring three more. So definitely a transitional phase for the sheriff's office. And depending on who we hire there, whether they have the academy or their lateral transfers, but obviously the three new hires will have to get a date at the academy and get the academy training. Then a year from now, we'll probably be sitting here saying we'll have three more in, you know, field training. So
sure.
It's a lot, but, you know, I look forward to the challenge to bring on new guys and gals to the department and let them serve the community.
Again, our guest in-house is Clinton County Sheriff Brendan Bright. Phone number, if you have a question for Sheriff Bright, you can call 765-659-3338. I know we touched on this before, but just remind everybody that's listening. You've been in position for 3 months. You're actually on the ballot for the election this year.
Correct.
Uncontested, as far as I know, still. So how does that work for you when we get into November? Of course, you know, we'll have the election and everything. And if you're still uncontested, is it just stay the course, or do you have to go back through swearing in, you know, the whole rigmarole of taking the position again?
Right.
I mean, how does that work for you?
Good question. I assume I'll have to be sworn in once I'm voted in. So yes, right now I'm just finishing a term up after being caucused in May, 3 months ago.
Sure.
That happened right after the primary election. So yes, I'm running uncontested in November, so I still have to be voted in November, and then officially take term of my office on January 1st of 2027, and that would start my four-year term. So it's been a unique position. You know, I've talked to sheriffs around the state, and you know, at the academy last week when I met them, and it's kind of a unique position, because a lot of people in this position, maybe if they've won the primary and they are running uncontested, they're just sitting back and watching right now. And you know, some of them are within the department and they've got some hands on, but it's almost like I'm working on my own transition, you know, like
right
for the January 1st taking over. So it's very unique position, and talking to other sheriffs around the state, they, you know, some of them are almost envious, like, wow, I would have liked to do that. Now, you know, it's a lot of work, you know, just to get put in there quickly.
Yeah.
To do that. But again, it's almost like I'm working on my own transition for my four-year term that'll start in 2027.
So for programs that were already going on when you came into this position, is it basically just kind of maintaining those? And then if you want to change any of that, then you'll wait till January to refocus and possibly make those different transitions in programs that have been going on for the department?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have to wait till January, but what I've done is, and I've told a lot of people this, and you know, I'm still watching and learning, you
sure
know, and I just don't want to come in and make changes to make changes. And if you know me very well, my personality, I make educated decisions. I sit back, and some people might think it's maybe too slow, but I like to make a very good decision based on sound evidence and not just come in there because it's what I think is best. So
yeah,
as far as the programming, yeah, nothing's really changed now. I've just tried to keep things going and, you know, slowly learn things and, you know, in my
evaluate.
Evaluate. And my plan is, you know, to everything can be evaluated. Everything can be tweaked, you know, and probably won't get rid of anything, but, you know, maybe just improve anything. And I would expect that, you know, when my term's over, somebody to come in and say, hey, you know, you did this, let's improve this. So
sure.
So nothing really has to wait until January 1st, other than just I'm being patient and just kind of watching and observing and learning.
Well, I'd be concerned if you were, you know, for lack of terms, hell on wheels going in and right. you know, doing a lot of changes and just without taking the time to see how things work in detail.
Right.
Because, I mean, education is the best way to go for anything. So, no.
Agreed.
Kudos to you. You retired two canines at the same time. A few months in the same year you've retired two canines. So congratulations to them. Did both of them get to go stay with their handler families?
Yes.
That's the best way. Yeah. That has to be the best way for them to retire.
Yeah. Yeah, so the canine program, I mean, right now we're just down to one canine at the department, and that's, you know, it's kind of cyclical, you know, it goes up and down. You know, when I was there before, you know, we've had anywhere up to four canines. So we're looking to, you know, if anybody's interested in that canine program, it's, again, one of those things that I'm not just going to put my foot down and say, nope, we're not going to add any. But, you know, we'll just play it by ear and see what happens. Again, right now we're focusing on our three field training, you know, our new officers. So not to say we can't add new canines later, but that's definitely a possibility.
It's not cheap, I know, to have a canine program, period. But what's the average cost of bringing in a new canine, including the dog themselves? And then, I mean, you've got the training with the handler and the dog together to make sure that they mesh and they have a good relationship right. before they even go out into the public.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to... you know, exact numbers to quote, but I know canines are around $10,000 to get a new canine, but then just to put that money on the training cost of that. And the equipment for the car is a little different. It's a little bit more added there. And then you've got kennels at the house, you know, for the canine handler. So it's an expense, but it's an expense that, you know, can be justified by the use of the canine, because they are so versatile, whether they're tracking or, you know, their bite dogs or their drug dogs, or they can locate items. So it's, again, it's just another tool that we can, you know, evaluate the expense of that and justify that basically based on their activity and what they're doing.
Our remaining canine that we have in house now, what is his span before we get to retirement?
He's young, just a couple of years. So I think we have several years for that. So he's with Preston Hillman, Deputy Hillman. So I think we're a few years away from that, you know, barring that he keeps healthy and, you know, still continues to work. So
I know I don't want to say lifespan, because lifespans are different for different dogs anyway, but I know they're working lifetime in the job. Is everybody, you think that a German Shepherd's usually 12, anywhere from 10 to 15 years lifespan, but their working
timeline
is a lot shorter.
Yeah, a lot less. I don't have the exact numbers, but you know, I'm thinking 5 to 7 years. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, some point they've worked, and just like us, you know, they want to retire and enjoy their life. So, and, you know, a lot of that has to depends on the evaluation too. They get they get a lot of vet visits, you know, the medical care. So
sure.
At some point, if they're slowing down and there's medical issues with them, that sometimes might force them into retirement earlier than expected.
We're talking about budgets and having to plan for things, building maintenance. We've talked about it. The building has some age to it, and buildings like it, structures like that, you either outgrow it or sometimes the system updates that need to be done, not only to the physical building, but even just the tech side of it, it can't keep up, and you need new facilities, which I know that's on a wish list somewhere, but how are you doing on maintenance on the building and, you know, trying to navigate that?
Yeah. I mean, right now we just did a big HVAC update, and they were working yesterday, then even on the wiring on that, because I know when they did you talked about technology with the HVAC, you know, the new stuff wouldn't talk to the old stuff, and the new equipment doesn't talk to the old computer. When I was at the courthouse, I know the same issue was there. So
that's out of my house.
Yes, that's always a problem. And they tell you, you know, you always hear this, well, parts are obsolete and you can't do this. So, and, you know, with the jail, with all the electronics, with all the electronics and the cells popping and the doors popping, it's kind of the same thing in central control. It's, at some point, you're just going to hear this over and over. There's no parts available, and they get used parts, and they're, you know, they're fixing things. So, but right now, I think in general, the building, you know, we're maintaining it as well as we can, and there's no major issues that we see. The one of the latest things we just did here recently, and we're replacing all the lights with LED lights.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, you know, it's a cost up front, but they tell us that within 2 years they should pay for themselves. So I think we've done some administrative stuff earlier on, and what we're just doing, getting ready to start now, is all the pods or all the cells back in the jail. And yeah, the numbers given from the estimate were within about 2 years in energy savings, they should pay for the cost of it. So, and it brightens things up. I mean, we all know, we've all seen LED lights. I mean, we've installed some in our stairwell, and it's just like, wow, it went from kind of like a dark, dingy stairwell to this bright LED. Plus, it's using less energy. So
yeah, we've actually installed them all through the station here for the same reasons. But, you know, we were talking off air, I told you about our house. We went from the regular iridescent bulbs to the fluorescent bulbs when they were available for screw-in into regular lights. We did that and saw a little bit of a savings when we went down. But we also saw the definite fluorescent lighting, which is not great, but a little bit better. And we were looking for cost savings. But now we've had LED lights for a couple of years now throughout our whole house, and our bill went to half. I was really blown away by that. So when you were talking about the numbers for the possibility of the numbers, the dollars of savings, that blew me away.
You know, I look forward. I'll keep an eye on that bill. You know, I'd like to see how that is, and then we can report back that to see if that really is the case. Because I mean, you know, if you think about it, there's a lot of lights in that facility, and a lot of them are on all the time. So it's not like at the house where you can just go shut the lights off when you're not using it. So I think we'll see a definite savings with that. And so that's just another small step that we can do to just keep maintaining the building that we have and use it the best we can.
Yeah, I would think you'd see at least a little bit. And then, and even with the new HVAC system in, that has to be saving you at least a little bit too, a little more energy efficient system there too. Any other equipment or technology or anything that you're looking at? I mean, do you still have anything out there that for this year that you're wanting to get purchased before the year end? And then what about next year?
Nothing this year. I think next year our contract's coming up on our body cameras and car cameras. And so that'll have to be reevaluated, whether we stay with the same company we're using now, or obviously we'll look at other vendors out there and get prices and quotes. But in today's world, that's a necessity. You know, I mean, you have to have body cameras on your officers and car cameras in the cars. So that's probably going to be the one we're looking at next year. But that's a budgeted item. It's budgeted every year, you know, the cost of that. So, and then there's usually 5-year contracts on that. So, but other than that, nothing really jumps out right now. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with the budget, and just maintain the technology that we currently have with those. And then drones, trying to keep our drone program up, just because drones are becoming so popular, you know, in law enforcement, well, and everywhere, you know, but they're used quite a bit in law enforcement.
Sure. And a lot of updates.
Right.
And programming updates, and yeah, any, of course, everything has updates. What about cars? I mean, vehicles, you guys put a lot of miles on vehicles. Some of it's hard miles, some of it's not. But that has to be a constant rotation. I'm sure you guys have it kind of figured out about, oh, we'll probably replace this many this year, this many next, you know.
Yeah.
But how many of those have you got coming up here soon?
So we just placed an order for vehicles, for 7 vehicles. And you're right, we've got, you know, obviously a spreadsheet with numbers on there and years of the vehicle and miles, and it's kind of like a little game of, I guess, Jenga or something to try to, you know, before you start spending too much money on maintenance, trying to maintain an old vehicle.
Sure.
Some of those will go into the pool vehicles, which are spare vehicles that we use when we need them, when one's in the shop or one's broke down. So, yeah, that's kind of we're working on that now. We've been working on that for the last month. We've sold our first one on a government surplus auction, so we're going to start selling some of the spare ones. And then when we buy new vehicles here in about a week or two, we're going to trade some in. So, yes, that's a constant battle. Not a battle, bad term, just a constant thing you got to keep up on, because it's just like your vehicle at home. You know, everything's working good, and then it seems like things happen all at once. You know, then one thing breaks down in another car. So, you know, you just got to keep them in the shops and keep them working on, whether it's a water pump or, you know, something minor, or just oil changes and brakes and tires, or, you know, the big one, we keep the maintenance on those going.
When you're looking at vehicles like that and looking to purchase, how do you determine which ones are the better vehicle to go with? Because you see some departments buy Fords and some departments buy Chevys, so, you know, it different brands, different styles, that kind of thing. So how do you determine which one best fits the department?
I mean, a lot of it is just talking to other departments and seeing how, you know, if you've had good luck with them or bad luck with them, you know, over the years, you know, I don't buy these, or, you know, but generally speaking, for a rural county like we are, we learned that the SUVs are obviously more of a necessity than maybe being in a metropolitan area with, you know, when I came on, we used Crown Vics, and those were rear-wheel drive Crown Vics, and they obviously weren't good on the snow and ice, so... Mm-hmm. Slowly transitioned. We had some Durangos for a while, then the Ford Explorers were popular, and now the Chevy Tahoes are popular. So a lot of it has to do with just the price, you know. I mean, what's available at the state bid, and a lot of it has to do with talking to other agencies and, you know, just what they've had luck with and what they've had problems with. So.
Well, and I'm sure you got to have a certain size anyway because of all the technology that's now incorporated into the job. I mean... When you were in that Crown Vic, you didn't have to worry about having a place for a laptop.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So I'm sure that kind of plays a part in it.
On top of the vehicle purchase, then we have to find an upfitter to put all the lights and the laptop stands and all the equipment in there. So, but we've used the same one for several years, and we're going to stay with that, I believe. So, but that's the other thing. After you buy the vehicle, then you got to get it ready to patrol, and it's just not, you know, obviously the decals on the outside, but everything on the inside, the lights and the radio and the laptop stand, and even with the drones now, some of the deputies that have drones, they have to be able to charge their drone batteries, so, you know, you need inverters in there. And, you know, again, back in 2002 in Crown Vics, you know, we barely had a cell phone back then, so things have changed a lot, but changed for the better. You know, it makes the working smarter, not harder, you know, with all this technology.
Sure. And probably about 10 batteries in a vehicle in order to handle all of it, but it's crazy everything that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis just in operations, let alone whether, you know, on having calls and everything else that you have to deal with. Wow, man, that half hour went quick. Beyond the day-to-day, what's a wish list for you for going into the next year? What are you hoping to accomplish? What are some of the goals that you kind of want to set for the department?
I guess I would just say not necessarily equipment and money, because we don't know where the budgets, but I want to have community engagement, you know, with the deputies, just get people out there, get the department involved in the community. You know, whether it's the hot dog festivals or the concerts downtown. I mean, obviously the county fair, they're involved, but that's kind of my wish list, is just to get, you know, I've been community oriented my whole life and career. So try to pass that on to the deputies and to the staff, and just to get out there and meet your community. So you're just not meeting them, you know, in uniform in a car necessarily on a call, but you're just seen out there. And that's something that can be done no matter what the budgets are. You know, you can just get out there and do your job and do some community policing.
One thing I didn't put on the list, and of course we didn't get a chance to talk, we talked a little bit last month, but with fair and everything else, there was a lot going on. School's back in session. Mm-hmm. You've got your deputies are out in the county schools, and I know they have to go through certain training for that because of dealing, you know, they're in a room full of kids, they're in a school full of kids all the time, and that poses different training aspects for them. how does that training work, and do you try to keep the same officers in those positions, or do you try to rotate them around so that, that everybody gets the experience?
Yeah, generally we try to keep the same officers there, and then we just fill in, you know, the two. Rossville has their own police department, so we do Clinton Prairie and Clinton Central, but yes, we try to keep the same officers there. And then we just have to fill in on their days off, whether they're vacation or doctor's appointments or sick days or whatever. But yeah, there's some training to do with the SROs that they have to do, because it is a different environment. You know, it's a law enforcement environment, but again, you're dealing with kids in the school environment, and they're just a little bit different. So yeah, they get a little specialized training with that. But again, that's something that's changed a lot in the last several years, to where we wouldn't even think we'd be talking about that, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, most definitely. It's unfortunate that we have to, but I've had the opportunity to work go into the schools on some other occasions for different various reasons, and I will admit your officers are a hoot. The kids absolutely adore them, so you know they're doing something right.
Yeah,
when the kids aren't afraid of them,
right,
and they're out there. Yeah,
and I think that's the goal, is to get those kids acclimated to the police officers, and they're, you know, so they're just not afraid of them.
Yeah,
you know, it's on a friend basis, and if you need something, you can go talk to them. It's not that you have to be intimidated and scared of them.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Well, Brennan, like I said, I can't believe that half hour went that quick. It always does when you're in here, because we get into such good conversation. I look forward to you coming in next month, and we'll have more, I'm sure, to talk about. But thank you for everything you're doing.
Yeah,
and
well,
and your department as well. I mean, it's amazing what you guys do, and the training that you have to go through, and you keep it up, and we're really appreciative of everything that you guys do for the county.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll be back with the second half of Party Line. Blake Dahl, you're in the house from NDOT, and I don't know whether or not I saw the list, and there's an awful lot of highlighted stuff on there. So it may be a good conversation, or it may be a oh man conversation. So we'll be back with more Party Line here in just a second.